Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and it is my joy and pleasure to offer this class with you today. So grateful and so thankful to be able to share these teachings that mean so much to me. When I first started reading the Course and studying the Course and discovering the Course, I had already become a Course in Miracles minister, a Science of Mind minister and practitioner for many years, and I had been studying truth teachings for 2 decades. But when I started to read A Course in Miracles, there were so many days when I would be reading it early in the morning, and I would just start to weep with joy, with gratitude. Just weep and weep. Weep and weep with joy and gratitude. And then after a really loud, ugly cry, as Oprah would say, I would then just go right into this beautiful laughter, just throwing my head back and laughing and laughing and laughing. And what I learned in that time was that those great sobs of tears and letting go were, for me, the release of sadness that I had carried my whole life and before this lifetime, that I had carried this great sadness. And the sadness was that I might never reach that point in my life that I was at right in that moment when I was weeping. That I might never come to the place of being able to read the words of my teacher, feel communion with my higher Holy Spirit self and my teacher and the angels and the ascended masters, the company of heaven. So I was releasing this tremendous sadness that I'd carried for God knows how long, that I might never get to the point where my mind was really turning to face the light within my own being. And so perhaps you have times when you're reading the Course or you're doing your spiritual practice or praying, something like that, and you just start to weep. Just notice, is it that same release of an ancient sadness that you might never turn to the light of your own being, that you might not recognize your own divinity? And this is the time we're living in now. So from this place, let us place our hand on our heart and let us pray. So much gratitude. So much. so grateful that we can use technology to transcend time and space. So grateful that the teachings of love are inscribed in our very being, in our heart. The spark of light within us can never go out. So grateful that no matter how heavy the burdens have been, the burdens of self-hatred and self-loathing, self-disgust, the burdens of loneliness and fear and terror, the loneliness of great hurt and betrayal, the burdens of feeling lost and confused, alienated, desperate, the great burden of despair and giving up and hopelessness, all of these burdens that we have created, carried, distributed, held, we're letting them go. We're giving the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit here and now, and we're claiming our true identity, our divine now, for us to recognize our divinity and the divinity of all life. We open our hearts, we open our minds to the river of love that lies within our heart. We are grateful and thankful to open ourselves to a great healing, an ascended master healing, a miraculous healing. We are calling it forth. We are worthy, we are deserving, and we are willing. We are grateful and thankful to come together for this holy purpose, to remember our divinity and the divinity of all life, to remember our true identity, our true nature is perfect love. It always has been, and it always will be. We are grateful and thankful to lay all the burdens that we've carried and treasured and cherished, and all the burdens that are known and unknown, recognized and unrecognized, felt and not felt. Every mistaken identity, every false belief, every attachment, every aversion, every craving, everything that distracts us from teaching only love, being only love, living only love, and being truly helpful. We place it on the holy altar fire of divine love, and we allow the Holy Spirit to lift the burden. So grateful, so thankful to let it go, to let it be. We are grateful and thankful to say yes to awakening, to atonement, to ascension, to clarity, to freedom, to joy. We are grateful and thankful to stand in the light of our own divinity and to give thanks for every teacher we've ever had, every teacher known or unknown, every teacher whether we rejected them in the past or we accepted them. We're now allowing ourselves to harvest the wisdom and the learning, to give thanks and praise to every teacher, known and unknown. We are grateful and thankful that this moment has come, and we are choosing to dedicate ourselves to our perfection and seeing only this in ourselves and our brothers and sisters. We are grateful and thankful to claim a holy relationship with life, with all beings, no exceptions. We are grateful and thankful to allow ourselves to have this healing, and we share the benefits with everyone because we are one with them, and we rejoice to extend love, to extend beauty and truth and wisdom. In gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. Yes. There was a time when I really wondered how I would ever become a successful minister. It just seemed so daunting to me because I did not feel worthy. I had a great desire, but I did not feel worthy. I did not feel capable. And now it is my absolute joy and pleasure to support other people who are interested in being a spiritual counselor, a teacher, a minister, in doing the work that I love to do. There's no competition in God. That's one thing I learned a long time ago. There's just no competition. And so one of the great things that I get to do is to introduce people to perhaps the person who could be the best teacher for them. In A Course in Miracles, in the teacher's manual, it talks about how our teacher has already been assigned to us. We've already been assigned to our teacher. That has already been done. And that we can't undo that now. And that our students are only waiting for us to be willing to learn, ready to learn, available to learn. And that is true. I have proven that to myself. And so I have dedicated myself, and we at the Power of Love Ministry dedicating ourselves to supporting those people who would like to learn and who can be truly helpful in this world. Of course, we can all be truly helpful in this world. It is our purpose, according to A Course in Miracles. And I'd like to say thank you to the people that have written to me and said how much they value this topic of being truly helpful. One of the things that I realized early on was that if I could heal my own mind, that I could be a beneficial presence in the world. And that amazed me, that that was even possible. And I decided to go for it. And that is my work every day, to be more patient, more kind, more loving. Some days I'm more successful than others. And any day that we can practice being more loving is a good day. It is. That's what makes it a good day. And having holy relationships, having healing in our relationships is such a miraculous thing for us. A Course in Miracles says over and over and over again that our brothers and sisters, of course, A Course in Miracles only says brothers. It's very gender specific, father, brother, son. That's just the terminology, because the book was written to that Christian audience for the teachings of Jesus. And so any offense that might bring to anyone, I think we just have to let that go and not let anything obscure the teachings in our mind, because let's face it, the spirit doesn't have anything to get offended about. And is never offended. Only the ego is offended. So I recognized that, and I just said, well, I'm just going to not let anything create a subterfuge to obscure the teachings of love in my mind. It's like, okay, you want to call it father? You want to call it the sonship? You want to call, say, my brother? Okay, fine. It's fine with me. I get what you mean. Let's do this. So, A Course in Miracles says all throughout so often that our brother is our salvation. Other people are our salvation, because it's through forgiving them that we forgive ourselves. A Course in Miracles tells us that all forgiveness is self-forgiveness, because we're one. All forgiveness is self-forgiveness. And so everything that shows up in our life that seems like we could judge it, or we have judged it, and then it's time to forgive it, because that's what forgiveness is, practicing non-judgment, letting the meaning we made of it go. All the situations that show up in our life are to help us release attachment to the past. Now, that seems crazy, but for instance, as I was preparing my Course in Miracles book open to Chapter 4, Section 5, which is called The Ego-Body Illusion. The Ego-Body Illusion. It's my page 65, paragraph 1. All things work together for good. I love that Jesus over and over again is unequivocal. All things work together for good. There are no exceptions except in the ego's judgment. The ego exerts maximal vigilance about what it permits into awareness, and this is not the way a balanced mind holds together. It says a little bit later, thoughts of God are unacceptable to the ego because they clearly point to the non-existence of the ego itself. The ego therefore either distorts them or refuses to accept them. It cannot, however, make them cease to be. So all things work together for good. There are no exceptions. This is particularly helpful in having relationship healing. So what I can tell you is, I'll tell you, I've had so much amazing experience in my relationships by being vigilant for the healing and to decide to be what I call the fulcrum point of healing in my family, in my life, in my workplace. And so saying that you're going to be the fulcrum point of healing means this. The fulcrum point is that leverage point. And it means that you, by deciding to be that leverage point, that fulcrum point, that center point of healing in your family, you will be able to effect amazing change in your family, in your workplace, in your community, wherever you go, wherever you are. If you are willing to be in that divine partnership with Spirit and to have no idea that you could fail. Because this is the thing, the light of God cannot fail. The light of God does not fail. It cannot fail. All things work together for good. There are no exceptions. So number one, we have to be willing to recognize that there is good encoded into everything if we're willing to find it. If we reject it, if we say, no, this is bad, this is wrong, this should not have happened, then what we're doing is we're aligned with the ego, but we're in a place of arrogance, not humility. So yesterday I was talking about humility. Humility is the door opener to spiritual expansion and awakening. Many spiritual students are looking for that place, that secret code, that chant, that practice, that thing that can just unlock the mysteries of God. I remember I used to look for it too. And it's humility. It's being willing to say, all things work together for my good, and no one is better than me, no one is less than me, because I'm one with everyone. So humility is required. If we are looking at anything and saying, this is bad and wrong and it shouldn't have happened, then we're in a place of arrogance. Because we're basically saying that divine order does not exist, that God has left the building, and now we're on our own, and we're going to have to take the place of God. And this is what A Course in Miracles tells us, that all our problems stem back to the decision to be the God of our world and not to recognize God, the Creator God. To say, no, I'm in charge. I'm the one who decides who's good and bad, who's right and wrong. So as difficult as it can be to understand that even the slightest judgment or opinion is exactly that acronym for ego, E-G-O, edging God out. We're saying that God has left the building, God has deserted us, or God's not good enough. God's got it wrong. And when we're declaring that God's got it wrong, or God has left us on our own, now we're in charge, the very thought that we would be in charge, as much as we might like to when we're identified with the ego, be the ones who decide, as much as we might like to decide who's good and who's bad, who's right and who's wrong, truthfully, in our gut, that is the most terrifying thing in the world. Actually, A Course in Miracles says the most terrifying thing in the world is that basically God still loves us even though we've done all of this, that we are still the beloved of God, and that we can go home in any second. And the reason why that is the most terrifying thing in the world is because it means we have to give up everything we think we made, everything in this world that we've got an attachment to and that we treasure. Whether it's seeming to hurt us or not. I mean, think about it. How often have you been in a relationship or a job or a situation that's really not healthy for you? It's really not healthy for you, but you stay in it anyway. This is a common thing. And what I hope you'll get by listening to this series is that you are profoundly supported. And when you choose the path of love and kindness and compassion and generosity and willingness, you will be lifted and carried. You cannot fail. In my life as a spiritual practitioner and teacher, I've met so many people who yearn to have a successful spiritual career and to be a counselor or a teacher or a minister or a coach or any kind of healing presence in this world, teacher, even just a parent or grandparent, a really great parent or grandparent. I meet so many people have such a deep yearning to be successful in this spiritual world, have a spiritual profession. And they fear failure. But the truth is, I know this to be so. If you really are offering to be truly helpful in every moment, and you're following divine insight and guidance, you cannot fail. You will be successful. You will be supported, led, and guided. And the only reason that people do fail is because they're giving to get. They're giving of their services, they're giving of their time and energy, they're giving of their attention to get something in return, to get money, to get accolades, to get attention, to get validation, to distract themselves from their own suffering, or some reason like that. And this is one of the key things in our relationships that destroys the sense of love and trust and beauty in our relationships. So when we're giving in any relationship in order to get something in return, then what happens is we are being codependent. We are being manipulative. And the generosity of spirit, the love is not there. Because love gives of itself, because that's the nature of love. Now remember, we are love. That's our true nature. But when we're identified with the ego, remember the ego will see lack and limitation in everything. That's all that the ego sees. Everything that the ego sees, it sees with lack and limitation. So whenever you have a thought of lack and limitation, you're identified with the ego. And you can, as I say, flip the switch. Flip the switch by partnering up with the higher Holy Spirit self. And you can do it simply by saying, Holy Spirit, help me now. Jesus, help me now. Angels, help me now. Help me to remember my true identity and to live from that space of perfect generosity and givingness. So the ego is always giving to get something. The ego is always manipulative. It's always codependent, but the spirit never is. So giving to get in our relationships, we see it on all kinds of levels of relationship. And it really degrades the relationship to just being a base ego relationship, which is what the special relationship is, which is what I was talking about yesterday. So the special relationship is always going to be manipulative, always about giving to get. I'm going to invite you to just turn within now for a moment and to think of any place in your life where you don't feel appreciated. Just think of any place in your life where you don't feel appreciated. So, wherever you don't feel appreciated, you're actually giving to get. And you may not even realize it. But any place that you're not feeling appreciated, that can shift. And you can start to give from your heart with no expectation, without needing anything in return. So love is generous and patient and kind. It's not boastful. It doesn't brag. That's what it says in the Bible. So love is patient, generous, and kind. And that's really our true nature. That's why it feels so good to be patient, generous, and kind, especially when it just flows. And one of the keys to living a truly prosperous and abundant life is to really recognize what A Course in Miracles says is to have, give all to all. So in the class with Lisa Natoli, we were talking about tithing as a practice of giving. But if we're tithing in order to get something back, that's just another form of ego manipulation. So tithing is giving because you've already received and you're grateful, and now you're sharing from the overflow. And so tithing is usually a practice of wherever you are spiritually fed from, you give back to. It's like keeping that pump primed, supporting that which is supporting you. And it's the same thing in our relationships. So we're not giving to get, we're giving because we've already been given and we have this overflow. But if you don't feel you can give from an overflow and giving frightens you because you're so identified with lack and limitation, then start with something that doesn't frighten you. So, for instance, in relationship, sometimes what happens is people feel like they've been hurt. So they feel like they've been hurt, and now they want to shut down and close their heart in order to keep it safe. But that doesn't keep things safe. It just doesn't. So when we are in that space, because I definitely used to live in that space of feeling like, oh, I just can't go there. I need to protect myself. I need to have a wall up around me. I can't be that open. I can't be authentic. I can't be transparent because I felt ugly and icky inside and I felt so hurt. And so I was very much with a wall around me, and not wanting to be open-hearted because it just felt too scary. And that's a very common thing among spiritual students. So they're attracted to spirituality. They're attracted to loving spiritual community. They're attracted to having loving spiritual friends. But because like attracts like, if they're coming from that place of being afraid and coming from the place of thinking that being open-hearted and loving will get them hurt, they're going to attract people who are of a similar mindset. And they're going to attract experiences that reflect where they are, not where they'd like to be. So if you are feeling that restriction in your heart and you see it operating in your relationships or your lack of loving relationships, truthfully, the pathway out of that kind of suffering and lack and limitation is to open your heart more fully and more completely. And I've proven this to myself. The more open-hearted I am, the less possibility of me being hurt. And one way you can think about it is like heart yoga. So heart yoga is the expressions of love and compassion and kindness and generosity, patience, that are helping you to be more flexible and more strong, more willing and more grateful. So in that heart yoga, what you're doing is you're keeping your heart flexible by being compassionate, kind, patient, and generous. Now, think about someone who doesn't exercise and doesn't stretch and who has been living that way for a long time. What happens is their muscles get very tight, very, very tight, right? So, for instance, right now I'm sitting Indian style, cross-legged, which is my favorite way to sit. And that's the most comfortable way to sit for me. But there have been many places where I go and I see that people can't sit that way because their body is not flexible enough to do that. And of course, there are people who are way more flexible than I am, way more flexible than I am. So that flexibility of the heart, we can see the reflections about flexibility just in the way people move, the way they hold their bodies, and how they can bend. Can you easily reach down and touch your toes? Do you need to bend your knees? Do you need to squat to touch your toes? That kind of thing. So I know when I first started doing yoga, I was amazed at how quickly I could really have a huge difference in my level of flexibility. I didn't start doing yoga probably until, I don't know, late 30s, early 40s. And I had a lot of tightness. And I used to be a runner, work out with weights and things like that. So I'd really lost a lot of flexibility just because of the kinds of exercises I was choosing and not doing enough stretching and things like that. So the same is true for us in our heart. And so if you think of someone who hasn't been very flexible in their body and very limited in their movements, well, if they have a situation where they're suddenly going to need to lift a greater weight or stretch further or something like that, they can get injured, right? Pull a muscle, something like that. And it's the same thing with our heart. We can go into a situation where we don't have the flexibility in our heart to extend love and compassion and kindness and generosity. And so because our heart is not flexible, we seem to get hurt. But the hurt really comes from the meaning we're making of it because we're not flexible. So we can begin to do a heart yoga. And that's what I began to do, is to look for opportunities to trade my judgments for patience, to trade my judgments for kindness, to trade my judgments for willingness, for generosity. And just to look for a few opportunities every day. So when I first started practicing this, I would go into judgment. I would start to complain in my mind. And then I would start to feel uncomfortable and irritated and frustrated and annoyed, agitated, anxious, any kind of upset like that. It could be feeling hurt or sad, taking offense, any of those. It doesn't really matter. Any kind of upset will tell you that you're in judgment. That's why I call it the divine alarm clock going off to let us know, oh, we've traveled into total identification with the ego and now we're suffering. So any kind of an upset is that total identification with the ego that leads to our suffering, because the ego identification is always one of lack and limitation. So if you're feeling any kind of constriction in your life, it's because you're identified with the ego, and you can change that identification pretty quickly if you're willing by just moving into gratitude. How can I extend love? How can I be a little bit more patient, a little bit more kind, a little bit more generous, a little bit more compassionate? Just increasing your flexibility a little bit more each day. It's not the Olympics. So just a little bit more each day goes a long, long way. Remember, one of the things that I've been doing for many years now is I teach my Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp class. So it's really a practical application of A Course in Miracles all day, every day, in these kinds of ways to build that flexibility, to build that open-heartedness, to build a spiritual practice that really works, where you start to see that transformation in your life, transformation in your mind, transformation in your body, transformation in your relationships, transformation in your workplace, your career, your finances. Wherever there's constriction, a dedicated spiritual practice that is one that you can take with you throughout the day so that you're changing your mind all day long. That's the thing that really transforms your life quickly. And not only that, but it's amazing how you don't slide back. And that's what I love about A Course in Miracles and this work that we're doing, is that practicing these tools and tips, you don't slide back, because you start to just naturally experience miraculous shifts and changes that feel so good. You just don't ever want to go back. And you know you don't have to. Remember, the light of God can never fail. And that's what we are. We are the light. So in our relationships, we can do this heart yoga of practicing patience and kindness, generosity, willingness, compassion. And while we're dedicating ourselves to practicing those expressions of love, because we can't do two opposite things at the same time, we naturally start to release our attachment to the judgments that cause our suffering. And so when we are not practicing judgment as much and letting the judgments go, moving into compassion, patience, generosity, kindness, then what happens is we are making our mind what A Course in Miracles calls miracle-minded. So all miracles begin in the mind. And then because we've changed our mind, they express in form. Giving to get is what the ego does. And what the spirit does is it extends love. This is what A Course in Miracles tells us, that when we're identified with the Spirit, then we're extending love. So we don't have to give to get. We've already been given. And this is what it means when it says, when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, which is within, and all else will be added unto you. A Course in Miracles says that the body is the temple, and the heart space is the altar. And so it says, take care of the temple, but don't lose sight of the altar. And it says that there are so many things or so many riches of all kinds that you can have if you take all your false idols off of the altar. So in special relationship where we are idolizing, could be our dog, could be another person, could be our job, when our altar, our heart space is treasuring idols rather than love itself, rather than our relationship with God, rather than our connection with Spirit, then those false idols are literally blocking the flow of abundance, prosperity, wholeness, healing, happiness, harmony, joy, creativity, wisdom, freedom. And what's happening then is there's no heart yoga happening, so we're getting into that place of being constricted. And the more constricted we are, the more vulnerable we are. And one of the things that the Course says here is, Where did it go? Here it is. God is praised whenever any mind learns to be wholly helpful, completely helpful. This is impossible without being wholly harmless. W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly harmless. Because the two beliefs must coexist. The truly helpful are invulnerable because they are not protecting their egos, and so nothing can hurt them. God is praised whenever any mind learns to be wholly helpful. This is impossible without being wholly harmless because the two beliefs must coexist. So in order to be wholly helpful, we have to be wholly harmless. In order to be completely helpful, truly helpful, we have to be truly or completely harmless. To be harmless means to have no judgments, no attack thoughts. That's what makes us invulnerable. So all vulnerability comes from our attack thoughts. And it does not matter who we're attacking, someone else or ourselves. So my life and the life of people who are in class with me, because I hear their stories so much, what we all see when we're practicing this is that when we give up the attack thoughts in our mind, then we are no longer being attacked. We don't feel vulnerable. So this is why I say the attacker always feels attacked. The judger always feels judged, and the lover always feels beloved. So if you in your relationships feel insecure, it might seem hard to believe, but it's 100% because of your attack thoughts. Practicing the heart yoga of extending love, compassion, patience, generosity, and kindness will eliminate that feeling of vulnerability, because in truth, we're not vulnerable. We're the living, loving presence of God. How could we possibly be vulnerable? It's just not even possible. We're eternal. We're one with God eternally. The body seems to be quite vulnerable, but even the body is not vulnerable if the Spirit is strong. These things are hard to believe. You know, in in chapter 2, which is one of my favorite parts of the entire text, there's one of the most important sections, I think, in the entire Course in Miracles is entitled Fear and Conflict. And it starts on page 28. And it says in there is that it says that, where is it here? It says, it's hard to recognize that thought and belief combine into a power surge that can literally move mountains. This is paragraph 9 of the section 6, Fear and Conflict in chapter 2. It says, it is hard to recognize that thought and belief combine into a power surge that can literally move mountains. It says, there are no idle thoughts, I-D-L-E. All thinking produces form at some level. And it says in there that in the fear and conflict section that all of the fear that we experience, all of it, is a result of judging. All of it, all fear is the result of judging. Because if we're sending attack thoughts, and that's what judgment is, out into the world, thinking that, oh, I can have these private thoughts, no one will know, and I can judge and attack my loved ones, my coworkers, my neighbors, and they'll never know. We're completely deceiving ourselves. They will always know whether they can articulate it or not. But they always know. There's just no way to have a private thought when we all share the one mind. And this is one of the things that people, this is the hardest thing, as near as I can tell, for all human beings that I have ever met, is to just not judge. This is the hardest thing. And I know so many people personally from my classes, because remember, I've had so many people in class with me who are telling me the stories of their personal miracles, that the healing comes when they are finally willing to see these judgments are not helpful to me. They are destroying my possibility for love and happiness. And over again, people who had very difficult relationships, particularly people who are in marriages where they actually despise their spouse or they are feel disgusted by their spouse. Again and again and again, I've seen those marriages transform. And sometimes they transform in ways that are so beautiful and miraculous. It's like a fairy tale. Seriously. But it starts with one person in the relationship making that commitment to heal their mind of all their attack thoughts. Now, one of the most important things to understand about this is doing this practice does not cost you anything. You don't need anyone's coaching to do it. You don't need any special equipment to do it. You don't need any help to do it. You can get plenty of help from the invisible, of course. And it just requires your willingness. Now, the thing is, for most people, it is very, very challenging. In fact, more challenging than anything I know of to stay the course, because the ego is so tempting and the ego is so familiar. So, like I was saying yesterday in the difference between special and holy relationship and how to call forth a holy relationship, what Jesus says to us in the course is most people find it so challenging that they give up. That's literally what he says in that section. Just going back to to it here. In the healed relationship, he says, the temptation of the ego becomes extremely intense with this shift in goals. Many relationships have been broken off at this point in the pursuit of the old goal, the ego goal, reestablished in another relationship. So, and he says, don't give up. Have faith. Have faith in God showing up in your partner and in yourself. And of course, this works with your children, it works with your parents, it works with your neighbor and your coworker, because it's all the same. It doesn't matter the type of relationship. Most people who really struggle with this, they have the belief that love is conditional. And so they think that these things mean love, but they don't. Love is our nature. Love is the ground of our being. Love is our essence. So we can express love or we can express fear, but love is never coercive. It's never manipulative. But if we're trying to do things, if we're doing things to make people happy, if we're doing things so that people will like us, if we're doing things so that people will treat us well, if we're doing things so that people will stay with us and not abandon us, if we're doing anything like that, we're coming from the place of they don't like me. They don't need me. They don't want me. If I don't do these things, they will reject me. They will abandon me. So I have to do these things to manipulate them to stay with me, to love me, to like me, to appreciate me, to give me money, to be kind to me, to recognize me, to validate me, so that I'm not alone and desperate. Otherwise, without them, I'm just going to feel lost. That's the special relationship. It provides the illusion of shelter from the storm. So when we're in that codependent behavior of I'll do for you these things, I'll give you these things if you give me that, we're manipulating. We're trying to win somebody's attention and affection through manipulation and coercion. And since doing that is always an affirmation that otherwise we're unworthy. That is our belief. We're coming from a sense of deep unworthiness. Whatever comes back to us, it has to reflect the nature of what we sent out. It's like a boomerang. It's going to come back to us with accumulated interest, increased energy. This is exactly what Patricia was talking about the other day. So if we're sending out love, patience, kindness, compassion, generosity, it's going to come back magnified and multiplied. If we're sending out irritation, frustration, manipulation, it's going to come back to us magnified. We decide what we're investing in. Now, the really, really, really good news about God is that fortunately, if we're sending out love, it's going to be magnified and multiplied so much more than our negativity. So every choice for that heart yoga of kindness and compassion and generosity and willingness and patience is going to be magnified so much more than what we send out that's judgmental and snarky and irritable and blaming and shaming and jealousy and all of that. So if we can just find a few places every day that we're increasing our kindness, generosity, patience, willingness, we're going to experience over the arc of just a few months an amazing shift in our life. And that's exactly what my Finding Freedom Spiritual Boot Camp for Living A Course in Miracles is all about, is doing it together, making the commitment, holding each other's hands, and step by step, moment by moment, just following the tools, tips, and practices that I give you, so that you don't have a place where you just give up. So you might give up right now. You feel exhausted and you're like, I'm just going to go into self-medication now. I can't take this anymore. Oh, I'm just going to have a hissy fit. My grandmother was from the South, so she would say, don't have a hissy fit. But you know what? I used to have hissy fits all the time. And one of the greatest gifts I ever gave myself in this whole life was I began to interrupt that pattern of having an angry attack. Because I used to be like a wounded animal that would just attack anybody, anything, just like get everybody away from me because I felt so vulnerable and so afraid. And now I have so much more strength of heart and it's increasing every day. And I'm so grateful for that. It has been the hardest thing I ever did in my life. And it was really hard for me too, because I didn't have the same kind of community that I now am dedicated to building to do it with at the level that I wanted to do it. And a lot of times when I would say to my friends and people, I just want to forgive everything, my friends would be like, yeah, that's not me. But the more you live a life of love, it's amazing how friends that used to say that all the time, they don't say that anymore because they're shifting and changing. One of the things I saw in my family was that the more I became loving, compassionate, kind, generous, patient, my whole family and the way they related to each other changed. Huge changes in my family, my friendships, in the environments in which I've worked. I think one of my favorite stories from last year, someone in my year-long class, my Masterful Living class, said that they had been sitting next to this person at work for years, and that person had always been a complainer, a grumpy Gus. And as she went through the year in Masterful Living, and she changed so much, not only did things change with her partner, and did things change with her child, and things change with her body, and all these other changes, but the person who sat next to her at work, now no longer a grumpy Gus, they have fun together, they laugh together, they really enjoy working next to each other. And in talking with her, her relationships improved, and I would just say, well, are they doing this spiritual work with you? No, not doing the spiritual work with you, me. And I ask, well, are they reading any of the spiritual books that you're reading? No, they're not reading any spiritual books. Are they listening to any of the spiritual? No, they're not doing anything like that at all. And I say, well, are you teaching them? No. It's just I changed my mind and they are changing. And that's what I saw in my relationships. The temptation of the ego is always to make it outside of you. They're doing something wrong. They don't respect me. They are the problem. Now, I remember one time I had a client come to me for counseling. And in the counseling session, we came to some agreements about what they desired for their life and commitments that they wished to make to themselves. And so they wrote them out in their journal, what their commitments were to themselves, and very excited about that. Could feel the life-changing possibility of it. I'm making these commitments to myself. Today's the day. I'm so excited. So then they come back a month later for a counseling session. And I say, so what's it been like for you living inside those commitments that you made to yourself a month ago? And they look at me and they say, what? I say, the commitments that you made, you decided to make to yourself about your life last time you were here. And they say, I don't remember those. So, well, look in your journal. Go back to the day you were here last and see if you can find it. So they did. And they said, yeah, I completely forgot about that. And I said, okay, so what's been happening in the last month? And what did they tell me story of? Betrayal after betrayal. And so I just said, do you see that in a sense you let yourself down? You betrayed yourself. You betrayed your agreement to yourself. And then what's reflected back to you in your life? Betrayal. We don't keep our agreements with ourselves. What does that mean? We don't feel worthy. We don't love ourselves. We don't honor ourselves. That's self-love. Honoring our agreements, keeping our agreements. People who love themselves do not have problems keeping their agreements with themselves. It's interesting. You know, a lot of times people will say to me things like, don't forget to take care of yourself. Hey, don't forget to take care of yourself. And I just think, yeah, I'm not forgetting that. That is my priority, because I am supporting thousands of people in doing their spiritual practice. I have to take care of myself first. That's my top priority. If it weren't my top priority, who would want to listen to me? I wouldn't be walking the talk and living the love. But people say that to me because it's not their priority. And so they're thinking I'm like them, that I'm not loving myself and taking care of myself. Because we all think that people are like us. So honoring ourselves, honoring our agreements with ourselves, it dramatically changes how people show up in our lives to honor us, to keep their agreements with us. Many times when we're really upset that someone betrayed us, that someone did something to undermine us, if we look at it closely, we had clues not to trust their ego. They gave us clues. Because that's how spirit works. We're not clueless. Usually when we're so angry and hurt and upset that we can't forgive something or someone, it's ourselves that we can't forgive because we had clues and we ignored them. We didn't want to see them. We didn't want to know them. So we ignored them. We betrayed ourselves by not listening to our intuition, by not recognizing. We betrayed ourselves by not loving ourselves. And then like attracts like, we attract people who don't love us either and who don't love themselves. So anything we're upset with outside of ourselves, if it's upsetting to us, it's because it's reflecting something that's going on inside of us. So there are all kinds of things that are happening in the world that are really gnarly looking, really seeming to be mean and hurtful and aggressive and attacking. But even when it happens to us, it won't upset us unless it's a reflection of something unhealed in us. So all the upset that we're carrying and we're projecting outwards towards other people, if we could just say, oh, this upset is triggering something in my mind so that it can be healed. I can go to gratitude first and recognize that all things work together for my good. applying that in my relationship and giving thanks for the awareness that I'm irritated or upset, and giving thanks that the trigger has happened so that this upset, this trigger, this pattern, whatever it is, can be brought to the light and healed. That gratitude changed my life. I know it can change yours. I've seen it with so many people who are willing to practice this. So here's the practice that I'm going to give you, the practice that works for me. And I just want to mention before I do that, that I've mentioned my Finding Freedom spiritual boot camp for truly living A Course in Miracles. And we're starting one in a couple weeks in August. And I'm doing a preview class about that tomorrow. And it's called Stop Blocking the Miracle. Stop Blocking the Miracle. Three things you can do now to activate your miraculous life of love. So I'll be telling you about my Finding Freedom Bootcamp if that interests you. Also, if this self-love issue is something that's really a challenge for you, as it is for many people, I am doing a week-long retreat focused on self-love and extreme pampering in Thailand. Self-love and extreme pampering in Thailand. It's a week-long retreat in Thailand because that's a beautiful place. I found a beautiful resort for us to go to. And my retreats are intended to be deeply healing and transformational so that you go back home feeling forever changed. And also going back home feeling that you have resources and practical things that you can do and apply, and that you feel equipped to do it and you do not feel on your own anymore. So I'm doing this self-love retreat in Thailand to entice you. To entice your ego to say, yes, let's do that. To entice your spirit to say, oh, yes, let's have beautiful healing in a beautiful place with beautiful people. And so that's one of the things I try to do with all my events, is really have them in a beautiful place to entice you to come and get away and give yourself a gift. So we're going to be practicing this heart yoga in so many events I have coming up this year. The Spiritual Counseling Training Intensive is a huge heart opener. And it's open to anyone. Anyone can come to my Spiritual Counseling Training Intensive. The next one is in England in early September. We've got the early bird price expiring very shortly. And then the next one is in Thailand the week before the self-love retreat. So I'm sure some people will come to the Spiritual Counseling Training Intensive in Thailand and then stay for the self-love and extreme pampering retreat. But for those who might not be able to take such a long time off, I've got a Living A Course in Miracles retreat in North Carolina, October 7th to 10th. That's Columbus Day weekend. And then I also have a forgiveness retreat the following weekend, which is, I think, October 14th to 16th, something like that. And that's also in North Carolina. So if these deep forgiveness issues, the deep wounds, are something that you're really struggling with, come and do the deep work. It's amazing how much healing can happen when we come together to do the work together, and we give ourselves permission to really have a deep healing. I love that about this work. So the tool that has worked so well for me, and this is one of the things that I teach in Finding Freedom, is when you feel any kind of irritation or upset, you don't have to know the root cause of it in order to heal it at the level of the root cause. Remember, I said earlier in the series that if you're trying to make sense of something, if you're trying to understand something, if you're trying to figure it out, you are identified with the ego. The ego doesn't understand things. It will only find a way to look at it based on the past, which is not true understanding. The ego can only make sense of things based on the past and what is in the past, where there were interpretations and meanings and decisions made that are pure judgment. So the ego is only going to look at your life experiences and try and find the judgments that make the most sense to its sensibility of lack and limitation. So you have an experience in a relationship where you feel hurt. It's because you have a fundamental ego belief of not good enough, bad, wrong, stupid, ugly, whatever it is. So the ego's only going to find a way to make sense of it based on those filters of those beliefs that you have. And that understanding is not helpful because it's not true understanding. It's not liberating. Remember, the truth will set you free. Now, the thing about the spirit is the spirit always knows the truth and only the truth. So if we're interested in knowing the truth that sets us free, let's not go to the ego. So when we're trying to understand it, when we're trying to analyze it, we're identified with the ego. The ego analyzes what the spirit knows and understands. So all we have to do is go to the Holy Spirit, go to the higher self, the I Am presence, the company of heaven, the angels, and say, I'm feeling upset by this. I know that means that I must not be thinking clearly. I'm interested in being at peace. And so I'm going to give all the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit to make sense of this. So the shorthand of that is really, I'm not interested in the past anymore. I'm not interested in seeing right now in terms of the past. I'm not willing to be upset anymore. I'm giving the heavy lifting to the Holy Spirit. I'm not interested in feeling upset anymore. I'm interested in knowing the love, the peace, the joy that is my true nature. So it's really that. I'm not interested in the past anymore. I am only interested in the yoga of the heart. More peace, more love, more joy. Holy Spirit, show me the way. Whatever I need to know, make it plain. I am willing. I'm willing to know the truth that sets me free. And I'm willing to share the benefits with everyone because I'm one with them. Let all minds share the healing that I'm calling forth and accepting for myself right now. I accept it on behalf of everyone. So this is another way of doing exactly what Patricia was talking about the other day. We can have a healing and share the benefits with everyone. That is being truly helpful. At the end of chapter 5 on page 90, there's a beautiful prayer that you can also use. And it says this. It says, regarding this prayer, say this to yourself as sincerely as you can, remembering that the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. And it says, here's what you say. I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let Him. I choose to let Him by allowing Him to decide for God, for me. So what's critical about that prayer is this part. The Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision. So if I've made a decision to look at things with judgment and I'm upset, I can only be upset when I'm in judgment. So if I'm upset, it means I decided wrongly. It means I'm judging. And I can give all the consequences of my judgment to the Holy Spirit for healing, and the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences. You won't believe it until you start doing it. So, Holy Spirit, help me now. I'm not interested in seeing the past anymore. I'm interested in the truth that sets me free. I am here to be a loving presence, to be truly helpful, and that's all I'm interested in. Show me, teach me, guide me. I am willing now. I share the benefits of my healing and my expansion and my clarity and my life of love with everyone because I'm one with them. Make it so now. I'm allowing my healing now. I celebrate my healing now. And you can literally, to anchor it in, celebrate the healing because the healing happens at the level of the mind and then it shows up in form. And if it doesn't show up in form for a day, a week, a month, a year, do not doubt the healing has happened. Because whenever there's doubt, it just means you don't trust yourself. The light of God can never fail, and the light of God is what you are. You can be the fulcrum point of healing in your family, you and only you. You are the one. You're the one you've been waiting for. You are the love of your life. And let's say yes to that together. So I'm going to speak a word of prayer here in just a moment, and I'm just getting to tell you, if this class series has been helpful to you, if you have found it exciting and invigorating, please tell other people that they can receive it as well. We're not taking it down. It's going to be available. It's not going anywhere. You may also really enjoy my Stop Playing Small series. And that was another series of classes that we did in the fall of 2015. And that's available for free right now on the events page at jenniferhadley.com. So all the events that I've been talking about are also available at the events page on jenniferhadley.com. And you can also find there the links to my radio show, my Course in Miracles radio show. We've got almost 250 episodes in the archive now. They're all available for free. We're transcribing them now, so those transcripts will be available. Remember, too, that the transcripts for these classes will be available soon. And every day I write inspiration and I record a prayer, and I offer that for free. It's part of my offering practice. And I invite you, you can sign up for that at any point for my daily inspiration. I call it my spiritual espresso and my daily prayer. And you can also get the podcast of my daily prayer. So that makes it easy for you to receive them. You can get the podcast of my radio show. And you also can get my free forgiveness workshop called How to Get Over It, which is free on the homepage at jenniferhadley.com. And if you're interested in my support, my Finding Freedom class is going to be starting soon, and you can join that class. It's a paid class, and it has a workbook, and it has 50 videos, and all kinds of different components to give you powerful support to make these changes and to not give up. So I invite you to place your hand on your heart right now and take this breath of love and gratitude with me. So grateful and so thankful. So grateful, so thankful that we are saying yes to the highest possibility of love. We are saying yes to being that fulcrum point of healing in all of our relationships. We're saying yes to relationship transformation and holy relationship. We're saying yes to the light within. We are grateful and thankful that our healing we share with everyone. We call upon the higher Holy Spirit self to do the heavy lifting, to walk with us and talk with us in each and every moment. So grateful that we're never alone. We're always led and guided. We are willing to listen now. In gratitude, we allow our healing to be. In gratitude, we know it's done. We accept it as done. And so it is. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I hope you'll join me tomorrow in the Stop Blocking the Miracle class. It's the last class of the series. And I love you. God bless you. Mwah.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.